Hello and welcome to the Two Roads and Two Destinies radio ministry. For Jeff Buckles and Mark BB, this is Mike Moody. We're with you each weekday afternoon from 1 to 1:15, and our goal is to teach God's Word, edify the saints, and proclaim the gospel. Also, the three brethren rotate the speaking from week. We believe God created because of the Word of God, but some of these unbelievers, they need that stumbling block knocked out from under them. They need to be, in a sense, to see that, yes, we can logically show you the falsities of evolution, but then the heart of man must be dealt with by his word. So the word of God and the spirit of God ultimately is what deals with the lost heart. Well, having said that, just as a quick overview, let's think a little bit about Genesis chapter 1. When we think of the creations of God and the great works of God, you know, it's mentioned throughout the Word of God. If you ever notice in the poetic books, in Psalms, in Proverbs, and in Job, things pertaining to His creation. You know, even the one called the Behemoth in Job, I believe it's 40, that seems to be, by its description, seems to be describing a dinosaur. You can turn throughout the poetic books of the Old Testament and see the mention of creation. You can go into the prophets such as Isaiah and Jeremiah, and he refers back to what God had done in that wonderful work of creation. You can go into the New Testament and see the Lord Jesus Christ himself speaking of creation, and particularly of the flood, which has a tremendous answer to so many of these questions that atheists bring up. If you turn to the flood, you can see there's your answer for why we have all the fossils and this, that, and the other. The flood. The Lord Jesus himself in the Gospels continually went back to the flood. It spoke of it, such as in the days of Noah. Then even on through the epistles, we see it as well. Peter brought up the fact that ones would mock the flood and mock creation and mock God in 2 Peter. Well, having said that, we see his marvelous works have been expressed in other ways other than creation. Often we see how God would refer back to the deliverance of his people of the Old Testament, Israel, how he had delivered them out of Egypt and crossed the Red Sea. That was spoken of many times as one of his marvelous works, one of the key points of Scripture. And yet, when we speak of his marvelous works, not only deliverance of Israel, not only the creation of God in the 6 days, we see that wonderful work on the cross of Calvary. That is the focal point. That is the central point of importance for mankind. The work at the cross. You see, without knowing Christ as your Lord and Savior, we can think of the verse that says in 1 Corinthians that the natural man, that is the unsaved man, cannot discern the things of the Spirit, for they are spiritually discerned. And unless you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, these things, the things of God, will not make sense to you. That is why the atheist who rejects God cannot understand the things of God. He may mock them and say, that doesn't make sense, it's fables. The flood couldn't have ever happened. The natural man cannot discern the things of the Spirit. So the Spirit of God must deal with those that are lost. Well, I'd like to look at least at the first day of creation this morning. And in Genesis chapter 1 and the first 5 verses, we see day 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, think with me here. Were these literal days? Some would suggest, as we mentioned, there is this thought of theistic evolution. Theistic means God, and of course you know what evolution is. But some have tried to compromise and say, well, maybe God used evolution and these days were days of eons. Maybe God did that. You know, unfortunately, about 100 years ago, that was a prominent teaching because when Darwinism first came out, the theologians were scurrying around trying to give an answer. So be careful with that particular line of thought. They are, this in a sense is saying, well, God used millions of years to finally get this creation accomplished. I would say beware. Be careful. Let's take this as literal 6 days. Let me show you a cross-reference to the word day in Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. This is the Ten Commandments being given. And remember, the nation of Israel, the children of Israel, they were given these Ten Commandments. And we see how, of course, in that economy, this is before the church age, we see that one of these were the Sabbath day. And if you will, look with me at verse 11. Well, it actually starts at verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. For Israel, that was the seventh day. And it goes back to what we see in Genesis, that God ceased from his work on the seventh day. He actually only took 6 days to create. So with that principle of rest, we see when he comes to the commandments given to Israel, verse 8 of Exodus 20, he speaks of this, but look at verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And it's been pointed out before that if you're going to interpret the word days as eons and eons of years, would God tell you to rest, or the people of Israel in that day to rest for eons and eons? Certainly not. It was a literal 24-hour day rest. So when you go back to Genesis 1, these are literal days. And we see this in Genesis 1 because when you look at some key phrases in Genesis 1, let me point out some of those. There are some patterns in Genesis 1. We see one being the phrase, and God said, beginning in verse 3. And God said. We see this phrase is mentioned twice on the third day, three times on the sixth day. He was very busy, you might say, on the sixth day. That's when man was created along with other creatures. But we see, and God said, nine times in this chapter, if I counted correctly. And we see, when God speaks, things happen. Remember that old commercial, E.F. Hutton? Remember when I was growing up, that was one of the things, whatever he sold, insurance or real estate or something. When E.F. Hutton speaks, and then everybody just ceases and, you know, supposed to get your attention on the commercial. But when God speaks, things happen. And we see, and God said, he spoke the world into existence. Isn't that amazing? Amazing? Simply amazing. We see that, and God said. So therefore, there was no need for eons and eons for God to create. Another pattern is, and God saw that it was good. Now this time, we have a phrase that's mentioned six times. We don't see it in the second day, but we see it twice on the third day. It's interesting as it goes down. After many of the days, he would say, and God saw that it was good. But notice verse 31 at the end of the chapter. What did God say after he finished the creation in those 6 days? And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So when he completed his work, it was very good. We think of how he is the wonderful, mighty God, and when he uses the word good, it's not just a simple word. He can say it in a way that such is his character. God is good. It is in the sense of how the word should be used. Only God in himself is good. And what he created is good. We, by the grace of God as believers, can attempt to honor God by good works. But he and of himself only is good in and of himself. And yet what he saw when he created it, it was very good. So when we think of these things, when we've read the first day, we see that the heaven and the earth, and if you note the waters and the light, were created. Now in verse 1, look with me. This has been said many times before, that in the beginning God. God did not have to explain himself. It is assumed that he is. In the beginning, God. But now, if you have a reference Bible, perhaps you'll note that the word God is used here in a plural sense. The word Elohim. And that's important because sometimes you have a singular or a dual or a plural use of a word in the Hebrew. I'm no Greek or Hebrew scholar, but if you have a trusty Greek and Hebrew study books, you can do a little research on these things. And God here is in the plural. Look with me at verse 26 and we'll explain. There is one God, but of the one Godhead we see the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the three persons of the Godhead. Verse 26, when he creates man, how does God say this? He says, let us make man. Now, we don't see him being along with the angels here, but he says, let us make man. Also in Genesis, I believe it's 11, so I need to turn there now, but remember when the people on the earth were all of one language and they decided they were going to build this great tower of Babel up to God and said, we're going to build a tower up to God. And God said, let us go down and confuse their language. So in a sense, we see the one God, but yet in the Godhead, we can see here the hint to what we find revealed in the New Testament of the triune Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So in verse 1, in the beginning, God, and again, hey, this is verified in several places in the New Testament. The Lord Jesus Christ himself is given credit, if you will, for creation. John 1, Colossians 1, Hebrews 1, here in Genesis 1, we see the connection with the Son of God as the Creator. All things were made by him, and without him, not anything was made that was made. The Lord Jesus Christ is equal with the Father and the Spirit, the one true Godhead. So in the beginning, God created. Now, if you have, again, a study Bible, beside created, you would find a slash that would say singular. Not plural, as with the word God. So we see he created singular. The heaven and the earth. Again, this little study note, is there's a dual sign to sign heaven. That's interesting. Have you ever thought of heaven, how the word is used in different ways? There is the first heaven where the birds fly. There is the second heaven, which we think of where NASA goes. And then we see the third heaven, where we think of the abode of God, where Scripture tells us, for us believers, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Thank you for being with us. If you have any questions or concerns, please call us at 224-5525. Or write us at P.O. Box 689 in Ramsgore. Zip code 27316. That is P.O. Box 689. All requests for tapes are free. We'd be thrilled to hear from you on the phone if you have any questions or concerns. Join us next time at 1 o'clock for the Two Roads and Two Destiny Radio Ministry. Wednesday, 3, 2, 1. Hello and welcome to the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry. For Jeff Buckles and Mark BB, this is Mike Moody. We're with you each weekday afternoon from 1 to 1:15, and our goal is to teach God's Word, edify the saints, and proclaim the gospel. Also, the three brethren rotate the speaking from week to week.